At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey. Welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go.
All right. We're back in the bunker with episode 103 of Feeling Good with Duddy, the show that points at the world, has a laugh, points in the mirror, has a laugh. And we have live music. We're the fairest of the fair, bravest of them all. You know who we are. It's me, Jake Bushnell. I'm the co-host of this show. Let me introduce you to the host, guitar player, singer of the Dirty Heads, one half of the Roman Duddy Project. Here he is, guys, host of the show, Duddy B.
What is happening? That is right. 103.
It seems like 100 was a big deal, and here it comes, and now it's like 103.
You're like, eh, yeah.
On to the next thing.
So, but yeah, 103. We've got an awesome episode here for you guys. We've got another amazing musical guest. We have Mest here. They're going to perform some songs for us. We got everyone's favorite segments. We got conspiracy queries. We've got scary stories. They have both shit their pants, and they're going to tell us about it. But other than that, before we get going, though, I do just want to let you guys know, if you've been listening to the podcast and you have been enjoying it, please give us a rating over there on that Apple podcast. It really does help. Or wherever you're listening, hit the subscribe button. Give us a rating. It really does help, and we would appreciate it. And enough of that. Let's get going on into it. I do have some music news.
Oh, yeah. Do you actually have some kind of big Dirty Heads news, right? Yeah. Tell everybody. I'll just get out of the way of that.
Well, first off, summer tour. Wow, it's happening. We're getting back out on the road. Very excited about that. But we do have some other big news we haven't really announced yet. On the 16th of June is when it's supposed to come out. We'll see. Sometimes things change, but we have a greatest hits album coming out. And on that album, there will be two unreleased tracks, one of which will be the song we just did with the Interrupters, and Travis Barker produced and played drums on it. So very excited about that. So big news for the Dirty Heads, finally, because there hasn't been a lot of news recently. It's always been like not much going on, but things are happening. Things are moving forward. Excited about that. What about you, Jake?
I don't have any music news right now. Doing an album with you.
Yeah.
Actually, I recorded a few more things yesterday. So, hey, so I guess I have a little
have
bit.
Have some music news.
Yeah, it could be a year, though. So just put it away. Forget I even said it. Dirty Heads news was awesome. And we do have awesome guests.
Yes.
The songs rip. It's going to be a fun show. They got scary stories. They got poop your pants stories. It's the dudes from Mest. These guys have been around forever, but I'm going to let you guys introduce yourself so the listeners get to know the voices with the name. So go ahead.
What's up, guys? My name's Tony. I sing and play guitar in the band Mest.
What's up, everybody? My name's Adrian. I play guitar and do backup vocals for Mest.
Nice. Right on. Well, thank you guys so much for coming down.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we had the pleasure of hearing them perform already. You guys were here at Later. It was awesome. But, you know, I mean, let's get it out of the way. What have you guys been doing with this time off, you know?
You guys released an album. Tell everybody about that.
Yeah. So in true fashion of the band, it had been 15 years since we released a new record. So we went in the studio with Cameron Webb, recorded it. Well, initially, we signed with El Jefe's Cybertrax, miscommunication during the making of the record. And I had been in the business long enough where I was sort of like, I could probably do this on my own.
Yeah.
So bought the record back, went on Kickstarter and raised fucking way more money than we were being offered and what I had, you know, thought would happen. Anyways, long story short, we recorded the record 15 years after the last one. We put it out in January of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final world shut down.
Wow.
Perfect thing.
Yeah. Funny how that works.
The hidden marketing strategy.
Yeah. I'm sure it's like, we're going on tour. We're going to promote this thing. Yep. And then
We had a great 2019 too. You know, it was a good touring year for us. We did a tour with Real Big Fish, Bowling for Soup, another tour with Real Big Fish, Less Than Jake, Mill and Colin. Had everything going.
Everything shuts down.
I love hearing all those band names too, because that was exactly like my whole scene when I was in school and everything. And then I feel like, I don't know if like for Mess, were you like not doing anything for a lot of years in there, or were you playing shows, just not putting out records?
We were still touring and doing stuff. I did do a record with some other guys, a Mess record. Like I wrote it and everything, but I had other guys come in and play. This was the first record where I had the original lineup guys come out and actually play on it. It was sort of like I had this record done and I was like, yo, I think it'd be cool and nostalgic for the fans if you guys, because we would do shows with the original lineup here and they're like touring. Adrian is with me, my buddy Gary, my buddy Casey. We tour, we do videos together. But with the original guys, we'll do shows here and there, like go to Chicago and do event type shit.
Yeah.
So I was just like, you know, I have this record, I'm gonna fucking put it out. Do you guys wanna come play on it? So I sort of sent them the record and I was like, learn your parts, come out. I mean, I sat in front of like my drummer, Nick, and I was like air drumming it the whole time, you know, like, cause we, you know, he only had 2 days.
Do it like this.
But yeah, it was mostly just touring. And I was like, at some point I was like, I gotta fucking put out some new music, you know? It was in me. I was at some point, like I was just fucking, I had a new little baby boy at home. So I was locked up for a while. So I was just writing songs and shit. And I was like, this is a Mess record. So
I just love that all of those bands, that was everything we were listening to a long time ago. Some of them kept going through and some of them stopped and they're all able to come back. And that scene's alive again.
It
is. Like 90 and early 2000s punk.
Oh yeah. And there's so many festivals, like punk rock festivals and ska festivals being announced. And it was really thriving. And then, you know, pandemic.
That was the most fun music ever to me. I just feel like we were so lucky in high school. That was like a fun-ass era of music for us.
It was huge. I mean, that was all we listened to. That was
I don't really know what music is right now, I guess, for the young kids, but I'm hoping it's that again. Maybe it is.
I mean, I'll keep my...
You're like, no, it's your weird age.
Because like, you know, pop punk kind of, I don't want to say it died off a little bit, but it did.
Yeah,
you know?
It did.
And then now you have a lot of hip-hop artists putting out pop punk records, which is kind of cool. You
know? Well, it's fucking cool again. It's like, things go in cycles. It's so funny. Everything comes and goes.
I think
and then,
the one difference though is that when I was growing up, I'm 40 now. So when I was growing up and discovering bands, even if I didn't like a band that was maybe in the generation before them, maybe, you know, a punk band from the early 80s, I still respected it and did my homework and understood that that band influenced the band that I liked. And so there was still like listening to it and finding out the stories and learning about where essentially I was then coming from, you know? And I question these days if some of these new bands still do that. If they go back and see, okay, well, this band, like this band, this is what, you know what I mean? Like the research and history and learn. Or if they're just like, they hear a song and they're like, oh, it sounds cool, I can do something like that. And if that's the new version of pop punk or if it's rooted in any way.
I see what you're saying. Sense. I wonder if it's cool to know about all the old bands.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure there's both sides of it.
There's both.
Right. You know.
Right. There's always going to be those rad kids that have the shirt that you're like, you look at the shirt and you're across campus and you go, oh, they know what's up. Yeah. And then you end up being friends.
Well, now I don't think you can say that because now it's like, it's cool. You can go to Target or
that's true.
You get cool shirt. Whatever shirt.
Forever 21. You know, you're like, the Misfits.
For sure.
Like, wait a minute. Do you listen to them?
I think the Kardashians, those were like, is it like Pantera shirts or something like that?
Like, you don't listen to that.
Yeah, dude. I guess the kids are fucked. It's up to the parents. That's where it is. Absolutely. It's up to the parents. Parents like us, you know. I don't know if you have kids, Adrian. Do you?
Yeah, I have a 19-year-old stepdaughter.
There it is. You got an influencer and you got a son. Daddy's got two kids. I have a son. It's up to us.
Right.
Yep. To show them the old for shit.
Sure. I think that's what's rad too, is like when we were touring, you had all these, you know, parents our age at the shows with their kids rocking out and like little tykes and, you know, preteens.
There's some generation.
Yeah.
No, we love that. That's one of our favorite things at our show. We definitely see like families, you know?
Yeah.
And it's great that your music could cross the generations, you know? It's
we're
very
actually
cool.
Doing a video for a song that I wrote on the record called Don't Worry, Son. And I wrote it obviously about my son. So we have an original version of the video, and I had fans submit photos and videos, quick clips of them with their kids.
Yeah.
Because they're at that age, you know? So like we have like over 200 submissions. So we're going to do a music video of the fans with their kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's right. I saw that on your guys' Instagram.
Yeah. It's going to be cool.
It's done now, right? Can't send anymore, or can you still accept
more? It's still open. Yeah. So if people hear this,
listening.
I mean, it's going to be a fucking rush for me to do it, but I'll get it done.
Go to Messed on Instagram. I think it's like the official Messed, or is it Messed official? What is
it? I think it's the official Messed.
Official Messed. And you'll see the last couple posts explain what he's talking about. Yeah. And hey, maybe you can be on their video.
If I'm thinking of right, it's Messed, DWS@gmail is the email to submit.
Okay, perfect.
But don't quote me.
So, and you said that's a new song you're going to release.
No, it's on the record.
It's on the record that you guys released about a year ago.
Video for it. So I was like, I'm telling you, like, I get, because I post a lot of shit with me and my kid, I have like fans that now I'm like the therapist.
Yeah.
And I have dads writing me all the time if they're going through like trouble with their ex or their current wife and their kids. And like, I had a dad write me the other day and like ask me about like his son eating solid foods and how could he, you know, and I'm just
damn. You're like, I'm not a nutritionist.
Yeah. But I talked to the guy through it and I told him,
hey,
he'll get there. Don't worry about it. You know,
it's like, funny. Some of the stuff the fans will ask you, like my favorite is like, no, I'll get a hit up and be like, hey, I'm coming to your show. I live here. Which freeway should I take? What's the best? I'm like,
directions and shit.
You gotta be kidding me.
Daddy's like, what the fuck? He's all 405. Yeah. Just like,
MapQuest.
I don't send him a screenshot of MapQuest. And then, so Mest, when did Mest begin? And then I want to get into Adrian, how you got into the band, because it's kind of a rad story, you know, that you were telling Duddy and I before the show. So I want you to tell that to everybody, but let's get like the full history, and then when Adrian comes in, and I want to know
how. History. First band I was ever in, I was 7 years old. We were called Fallen Angels. We did like Judas Priest and Rolling Stones, like random shit that like my dad would show us.
Seven
years old.
That's rad. Did you sing?
I tried to. I tried to. But that was me, my brother, and my cousin. And so we sort of always just had bands growing up, and then got into punk rock. And in like 1995, I got kicked out of school. And at that point, I was like, fuck, I got a lot of time on my hands. And the old man was like, well, what are you going to fucking do, you know? And I was like, he wanted to be a musician. Like, that was always his thing. You know, he ended up being a working man. But I was like, yeah, man. I was like, I want to play music. And he's like, well, if you're going to play music, then do it. Play music, you know? So he was always supportive. You know, we had a basement in Chicago with gear everywhere all the time. So 1995, me and my brother and my cousins started Mest, and then had a couple different drummers, and then finally found a drummer. He actually joined the band because he was scared to say no.
No, like, they're gonna beat me up if I say no. Like,
yeah,
this is in Chicago.
Yeah. And so yes, we started in 95 and we just like went at it, you know, like it was like we would save our money going, we started in the studio immediately and just started recording songs and demos and, you know, just doing everything on our own. And luckily we became the we worked the scene really hard. You know, I was the kid, I feel like I almost invented it, where I was like that annoying kid with the CDs handing them to band members and shit. And that's essentially how we got signed, just pushing in Chicago as hard as I could. And we became the local band that was big enough that when international bands would come through, touring artists, and they wanted a big local band, we were the ones that got picked. So that's how we just kept, you know, the shit rolling. And that one of those CDs I gave away ended up getting a phone call, and it was like secured a demo deal. It was literally
hard work.
Yeah, I mean, it was just annoying people until somebody said, you're knocking every door until somebody fucking answers, right?
Amen. I mean, it does work.
It works. Yeah. The worst they can do is just like not call or just say no and whatever.
I mean, the crazy shit is that it was the singer of Goldfinger, John Feldmann, who's a pretty big producer now. He's doing fucking great, right? He was playing this quick, small show at Fireside Bowl, which was a punk rock place on the north side of Chicago. He played the show. My friend's band opened up for him, but he had always promised me that we could open up for him. So I went to the show and I'm like, yo, dude, after the show, I'm like, you said that we could open up for you guys next time you play in town. He's like, oh, sorry, man. He's like, you got to keep in touch with me. Like, Goldfinger's already had their Hair in Your Bedroom hit at this point, like doing pretty well. He fucking grabs a pen and paper and writes down his home phone number. And he goes, here, keep in touch with me. He didn't know me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I was just this fucking annoying kid, right? And I kept in touch with him. I'd send him demos. And then one day he called me up at my girlfriend's house and was like, yo, dude, you still got a band? And I said, yeah. And he goes, all right, I'm finishing up this record in like 3 months. I'm going to get you a demo deal. I'm going to fly you out here and record some songs.
Oh, my God. And I was what like, a call.
17 or 18 at the time.
He was like, no way.
At my girlfriend's house, he calls me like 3 a.m. And dad's like, yo, you got a phone call. Fucking weird, right? And then, yeah, so that was pretty much it. We came out, did 4 songs. And then a week later, Maverick signed us.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What a rad thing.
That,
damn.
That like never happens.
No, that's yeah, a, that's yeah, like that's a movie. So bad.
Yeah.
A phone a call. Holy like shit. I don't like even know how it would happen anymore.
I beat the system somehow.
You know? Now it's a DM. It's like my TikTok and I get a slide up.
Oh yeah.
Someone's in the DMs and I'm signed. But hey, whatever. I guess, you know, it all is just changes, but that's super rad. And what a story. Those types of stories probably, I guess, might not ever happen again anymore.
No, I think they
you
still
think people
will,
are still sending out
rare.
Demos and getting phone calls?
It's a rare thing, you know?
It is a rare thing.
I want to think it does still happen. You're right. You know? That makes me smile to think that.
I mean, that's kind of what happened to the Dirty Heads in a way, you know?
But that's a long time ago. That's what I'm saying. This is a different time. Yeah, like Adrian, I want to know.
Sorry, Power.
Because this is like a cool thing. Mest is going.
Yeah, talking about things that don't really happen. That are very rare. This is
another one of those kind of rad things. How do you become, you know, to the point where you're playing with them?
Well, so my parents got divorced when I was 15 and I moved to Dominican Republic with my dad. My dad's Dominican. My mom's German. I'm a Germanican. And I'd always go visit my mom over the summer. And one summer I went, you know, to Germany. I'm chilling. And I would always go to these CD stores. And you can, back in the day, you could listen to the CD before you purchase it. So I'm going through and I'd heard a Goldfinger song. And it was the 99 Red Balloons. It came up on MTV Germany.
Yeah,
and I was like, that's rad. I love the sound of this band. It's really cool. So I went to the CD store and I'm looking at the Goldfinger record. I think it was Stomping Grounds. Yeah. And on the back, I'm looking at, like, you know, they give credits to bands and Mest was on, like, want to thank Mest. And I was like, who the fuck's Mest? So I look down the aisle and there's M Mest. And I see this CD cover of these, you know, punk rock dudes with a bunch of midget strippers at a hotel room. And it's the cover.
Something that would not.
They would not go down.
It would not fly.
Hit through the label.
Oh my God.
And I was like, this is rad. And I played it in that first song. I was like, holy shit, this is sick. So bought those two records. I think I bought a Pennywise Full Circle record and then went home. And I've always played guitar. So I started learning and I would play Mest religiously in my mom's living room, sing all the backups and just rock out Goldfinger as well. And fast forward, I think it was 2013. We were playing Warped Tour in Pomona.
Yeah.
And we're on the Ernie Ball stage.
We did a couple shows. You're in a different band, I'm assuming, or something.
So I sing for a band called Assuming We Survive that I started in 2007.
Sweet.
And so we're on the Ernie Ball stage and I see Tony, my idol, in the beer garden. So I just go up to him like, hey man, big fan, love your band. I know how to play all your shit. And he's like, right on, man. I was like, dude, we're playing the Ernie Ball stage at 2:30. I'd love for you to check us out.
I was like, fuck no, bro.
But he was really he was really bad. He was
scatter
like,
kid.
So he checked us out. And then I think it was like 3 weeks later, you had us open up at House of Blues Anaheim, which was also a dream come true. Cause like, that's one of my first DVDs I ever had was you guys.
Show Must Go Off. Kung Fu Records was doing like live DVDs at the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kung Fu Records, dude. I fucking.
Yep.
Yeah.
Old school Kung Fu. Dope.
And so he comes into the green room. He's like, hey man, do you want to play guitar for my band whenever Jeremiah can? I was like, fuck yeah, dude. Yep. And where was the first show I ever played?
It
was
that Chicago? Helped when you walked up, said, I know all your songs.
Yeah, I know all your shit.
Put that in your head in case you need.
I'm like, cool, show me some shit. I forgot some stuff.
And then I think the first show was Chicago.
I think when London was like 3 weeks old and we all flew home.
So we flew home for a sold out hometown show in Chicago. The fucking set list is like 25 songs.
Yeah.
And then I think 30 minutes before we went on stage, Tony's like, hey, we're going to add this one to the fucking set list. A newer song that I wasn't really familiar with. So I was in the green room.
I was like,
fucking,
just hit that volume knob.
Yeah.
Just slide it down.
Yeah, just
I was sitting there in the green room learning it, literally with my in-ears in, just learned this song. And then I was like, I fucking pray to God that he puts it like somewhere at the beginning of the set list. No, what does he do? It's like towards the end. So the whole set, I couldn't even have fun because the whole set, I'm really visualizing how to play this fucking song that I've not fucking versed in.
Yeah.
And I think I only messed up like once or twice.
I'm sure I did.
That's when all the homies knocked over my whole rig. They're all wasted on stage.
Oh,
this is first
that?
Show.
This is the hometown show where everybody feels they should be on the side of the stage.
We just were like, no more.
Or on the stage. They were literally on the stage.
That was
not going the entire amp.
It's like I always thought that started with the punk rock scene where it's just, oh, we've got 150 people on the stage. But then I would watch old shows, even with the Rolling Stones and shit. I'm like, oh, they had 300.
Yeah.
Just chicks hanging off the side, dancing in the back. I'm like, oh, that's just a rock
like
and roll
shit
thing.
On the side of the stage anyway.
It's the worst place.
I don't know why you want to be there besides to.
That's what I always tell my friends. Like,
it really is the worst.
We come backstage, I'm like, why? It's boring back there.
I know.
There's like a whole huge party going on out front.
All up front.
It's a huge party out there. Like, backstage is pretty boring for the most part.
I know.
It looked kind of cool though on the old 70s stuff because everyone's like out of their mind on drugs and they're like into the performance. Right. Now it's people filming themselves.
Yes. Yeah. They're like just
as a fan. With you in the background. Yeah. Like,
It's like, there's, pay attention to the show.
That's a show etiquette thing. Yeah. Every once in a while, we have a show etiquette segment where we talk about something that's annoying.
Is there anything you guys see at shows, like from the stage, and you're seeing in the crowd that you witness happen? You're like, God.
We've had things like groping chicks when they flow, guys yelling in chicks' ears trying to hit on them. Like,
We were shirtless dudes on shoulders. And it looked like this dude was harassing this chick. And so I just stopped the show, called him out. He was huge. He would have fucking smashed me, but whatever. Yeah. And I called him out, and the guy was being a dick, so we had words. And then I said, fuck it. So I grabbed security, had him turn on, brought her on stage.
Oh, you did that? Nice.
And here's the problem with this story, though. After the show, go and see the girl, talk to her for a second. She's fucking got blitzed somehow, just wasted. And I'm like, okay, I'm not babysitting, first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, I found out it was her fucking brother.
Oh,
I'm like,
no.
You could explain that. Like, yeah. But he was being a dick, and she was okay with it. And then, like, yeah.
He was probably like, because she was so hammered, he was probably like, God damn it.
Yeah, he was actually the sensible one.
I did do that at another show, too.
At the Aztec Theater.
And then I even offered to
get him back in.
Yeah, because it was something like they were just throwing kids over, something.
Oh,
happened.
Yeah, he's been pretty violent. Like, younger kids were crowd surfing, you know, having a good time. And he would just throw them over the barricade with no security there to catch them. You know what I mean?
So I had enough of that.
Oh, trying to injure people.
We got him out. And then his wife or girlfriend was mad about it. And I said, look, it was after the show. I grabbed security. And I said, if that dude comes in there and he fucking apologizes and he's not going to be an asshole, I don't want to ruin the show for him. Like, you know, but put him in check. And security was like, no. Because he was an asshole the whole way out. And I said, okay. I said, well, there's your answer, dude.
Well, it sounds like you're sensible. So it seems like if you were to do that, it's because someone pretty much deserves it.
I used to get kids back in all the time, too. I would fucking hold down. And I go, nope, I'm not playing another song until those kids come back in. Because when security would throw kids out for, like, dancing, I'm like, dude, come on. Like, that's
a fucking show.
We're here for you know?
Mm-hmm. But not punching.
Yeah.
Just having a fucking good time. So yeah, we used to stop shows and shit and fucking.
Oh, the good old days of music. Can that happen anymore? I kind of don't think so.
Well, the days are just fucking old. They don't want to do that.
So. Yeah.
Mine was like the groping thing too. Like on Warped Tour 2016, we were playing Cincinnati. We were playing in the arena section, slam pack. Probably the biggest show that my band, Assuming Survive at the time, had ever played in, as far as people.
Yeah.
And I was like, my manager's like, dude, you got to do something crazy. I was like, I'm going to crowd surf from the barricade all the way to the top of the arena and sing the whole way up. He's like, what? You won't? So I did it. Halfway through, I feel this finger up my ass.
Oh, yeah.
And I look down and it's this big burly dude and he's just laughing about it. So as I'm passing, I just fucking took my heel and just fucking healed him in the face.
Like, material. I'm assuming this wasn't a naked Warped finger.
It was a little extra gropey too.
Yeah, it's super gropey. Yeah,
for sure. Dude.
But I made it all the way to the top of the arena and
there
then
you go.
Ran to the merch booth and so that was fun.
Then fuck the dude later.
Yeah. He definitely had a consensual
sex. That guy went around just high-fiving people with
he bought a shirt.
Finger.
Man. Hell yeah. That's so we haven't even got to exactly how you get into the band. Huh?
Oh yeah, so I played that one show.
Yeah.
And then I played a couple more.
Guess. Yeah.
You know, filling in and stuff like that. And then I was going through a divorce at the time in 2018. And Tony's like, bro, I have an extra room. Do you want to move in? Because at that point we were close friends, you know, we would hang out and like 4th of July's and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I moved in.
You were right on tour. We did a tour in Europe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So after Warped Tour 2018, I went straight to
Europe
with Mest.
And then we did the tour over there. And then when we got back, I had like a day or two at home. And then we were playing a festival in Chicago with Less Than Jake, Descendants, Wilhelm Scream. Is that
Wilhelm Scream. Yeah.
Wilhelm Scream. That's right. And it was a massive festival in Chicago. And I was trying to get him to come out just to like tech and help out. And then he ended up, the guys were like, no, we can't afford it. This and that. I'm like, all right, well, fuck it. And then he ended up coming out anyways because
the day I landed,
he got served divorce papers or something. So
The day I landed from.
So then he came to Chicago on his own.
So I literally bought a plane ticket and just flew out to Chicago.
So then he hung out. And I, like I said, I don't really do stuff with the original guys too much because it's just small events type of shit. So if I'm out on the road, it's like bringing dudes that want to do it and can do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of gone more that way. The last record of doing it like that was just for the fans, just to fucking have some nostalgia. But if I compared, if I showed you a demo to like the record, you'd be like, okay, so you re-recorded it. And that's
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, so After I got back, I moved in with Tony.
Yeah.
And then
I was literally living
in his studio. And so like I would wake up to him recording shit, like the new record.
He's kind of sleep hung over and I'm like, dude, I got a record to write.
From a young boy in a record store in Germany. And then you're living together in a studio.
Yeah, it's rad.
Dreams can't come true, everybody.
Yeah.
But it was cool though, because like for me, I've always written all the songs front to back, you know, like but then when you work with the producer and he comes up with some ideas and shit, but it was cool because he is a songwriter. So when I'd be fucking stuck on something, I'd be like, you hear anything? Like, give me, you know, and you just give me one idea. And then you realize when you can write a song with somebody, really can bounce shit where it's like, it takes you to that one little melody or something you hear or a word that then makes you, it opens up a whole nother fucking world. And you're like, okay. And then you get to move on.
Absolutely.
So it helped a lot.
Dead End Street was a perfect example. Yeah. He was stuck on a chorus. And I was like, well, let's look around your room and see if there's inspiration. And he had this street sign that said Dead End Street. I was like, dude, what if
you sang the first line of Dead End Street. Yeah.
And that's how that chorus came about.
Nice.
Which I grew up on a Dead End Street. It was like our block, the crew.
You stole the sign. Yeah. Wham. Yep. Give me that.
Yep. Always.
I remember that. Songs that was a big thing. Sign stealing back in the day. I remember that was a big thing.
Put it up in your room.
Put it up.
I got a stop sign.
I got caught. You could do the, so I used to steal shit like that. And I stole like the golf course flags, like the 150 marker, and I hung it up in my bedroom.
That's big.
Didn't realize that you could see it from the golf course. Cop showed up to the door.
Woo!
I couldn't be within like 900 yards, 500 yards from the golf course for like 90 days. I lived next door to it.
Yeah, they're like, you have to move.
Yeah, I was in violation of my probation.
In your bedroom, you're in violation.
Every day.
That is
fucking funny, dude. It was a bit. I don't know if that is that another nostalgia thing. Duddy and I are, I'm 41. And Duddy, you're creeping on in 40. You'll be there this year.
Yeah.
Hey, we're right there with you guys. Yeah. We're all there. Yeah, I do. I don't know if that's still a thing. Do people still steal signs? Young listeners, let us know.
Street signs, it represents your neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That was like the coolest thing you could do. Or traffic cones. And we'd ollie over them. Yeah, we're making a skate park.
That was big.
That was huge. Let's get into, it's song time now.
Let's get into a song.
It's fucking song time. What song do you guys want to have played first?
Do Masquerade. It's exactly
what I was thinking.
The newest single. Well, not, I mean, no.
It's, I know, you released it right before the world fucking fell apart. Yeah. There's videos online and everything, and it's dope. So here it comes. Messed Masquerade.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. My masquerade running out of time. I've been in disguise, saying all the right lines. I bite my tongue to hold in one more lie. I like what I see. Maybe your life I'll try. When the night is over, will you remember my name? When we wake up so, you recognize my face? Can't carry on this masquerade much longer. A painted smile inside pain grew stronger. My time is running out. I'll dance around the truth, hide my identity, because I know you, but you don't know me. I'll never be the same. I'll wear this mask,
play this game,
as midnight strikes.
Will
you still want me? When the night is over, will you remember my name? When we wake up sober, you recognize my face? Can't carry on this masquerade much longer. My time is running out. My face. When the night is over, will you remember my name? When we wake up sober, will you recognize my face? Can't carry on this masquerade much longer. A painted smile inside pain grew strong.
All right, that was awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, man.
Man, it feels, it's so fun coming in and just get to hear live music every episode.
It's the best thing. And we've had different styles. Like, you know, Dirty Heads are in that reggae rock world. So naturally, we had a bunch of bands that sound like that. We always will. That's like, you know, yeah, that's the genre we're in. But lately, we've had like, we had kind of like a rockabilly almost style band. Mm-hmm. And now we've got some punk rock. It's fucking fun. We're mixing it up.
I love it.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Yeah, man.
And you know what else I love?
What do you love?
This next segment, Jake. It's everybody's favorite.
It's everyone's favorite. This is, do you want me to tell?
Go ahead.
If new listeners. Yeah. So you guys all know that the person at the party that corners you. It's you guys, I think, because you Adrian said Ancient Aliens is like he goes to sleep to it every night. There's always the guy at the party who corners you, you know, and then he's telling you that there's fucking plutonium under all the pyramids and it's all leading to, and he could be right. We love it all.
He's also high off a bag of fucking Coke too.
He's a bag of Coke. The bag of Coke is hanging from his nose and in between he's like, the plutonium is up in the, you know, and he continues and you're backing away with your beer and the signs aren't clicking.
He's got that Coke breath and
the
aliens.
He's the Cokey breath and he's spilling his beer the whole time. Yeah, I swear. And it's, you're watching it fall. He can't wait to tell you. And then, but Duddy's not that guy. That's a conspiracy theorist. Yeah. Here's the theory. Duddy's does a conspiracy query.
Yes.
Hey guys, have you heard of this? It's real light and fun.
Yeah.
Tell him again what I said.
I didn't come up with this.
No,
I'm
he
not
didn't.
Saying I believe in this. I'm just simply asking you guys if you believe in conspiracy queries.
That's right.
And as you know what I do, I spin the globe.
Yeah,
I close my eyes and I just put my finger down. And then wherever my finger is, I go there. And I talk to the locals, and I get these stories, and I get right down
to land only like fucking 60 miles from here.
Crazy, right? Isn't that wild? I landed in our nation's capital, Fresno.
Right there where it all started for the good
US. And this one is called the Fresno Alien.
Not a conspiracy, just a creature.
This is more of just
a creature.
An alien story.
But it does exist.
Yeah, and it is a we're going to call it
because it's on the internet.
It's on the. I mean, there's a very good picture of it.
Yeah,
it's a sign. If you guys go to what is that? Backpackerverse.com.
Backpackerverse.com.
Backpackerverse.
And you can find the Fresno alien picture here. And the Fresno alien is also called the Nightcrawler, and it is seen infrequently, which I like that they put that.
It
is a short humanoid creature about 4 feet tall, and it appears to have no arms. It's funny because in the picture, it definitely has arms.
They got a really good picture of it.
Holding a bag of chips.
Right in front of a light.
Some say it is in fact wearing a robe. Oh, okay. Or other clothing, which might point towards it not being a cryptoid at all, but an extraterrestrial or a paranormal entity. So wait, so extraterrestrials wear robes? Is that a thing?
It's cold in Fresno.
It's cold in Fresno.
You know what? I don't get that.
Snoke has a robe.
I don't get the fact that it says it doesn't have arms and it clearly has two fucking arms and it's holding a small baby.
Yeah, for the listeners, you'll want to go to YouTube to see the picture of this on Friday, but it is an alien shape with two arms. There's no denying
definitely
that.
4 feet.
So definitely 4 foot.
Sightings of the Nightcrawler were on video, including security camera footage of the creature walking through a yard.
I want to say that I've actually seen this video.
I've seen that video too.
Like go to the video. I think you can click it right there.
Yeah.
Thing, right?
Luke's clicking. We're going to the video. We'll have the video on the YouTube as well.
That's somebody's bedroom.
That's a bedroom. I'm down to watch what happens in there.
I swear I've seen this video.
I think I've seen this video too. It said that the man was creeped out while his dogs were barking frantically. He went outside. There was nothing there. But in the morning when he checked his security cameras, he caught footage of this no-armed, robe-wearing extraterrestrial
infrequent
that lived
appearing
in Fresno.
It's a very detailed story. A lot of the details seem incorrect, but
we got lots of footage of it. It's super. It barely comes out. We have so much footage.
In the morning, he reviewed the recorded footage, and the legend of the Fresno alien was born.
If I'm correct, Fresno is how far from here?
It's probably like 4 hours.
Is it a methy town?
Is it that far?
I think Bakersfield is only 2 hours away.
Yeah, Bakersfield's like 2.5 or something.
3 hours.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, maybe. Okay, I don't know.
One of them that's up there is like the meth capital. Which one is that? Maybe I'm thinking
probably Fresno.
Probably Fresno.
If you're from there,
Fresnoians are listening.
We're talking about there if it's where you're from.
They're all, you son of a bitch, we're number three in meth. How dare you call us Riverside? Wait a minute, I'm kidding.
Can't even get that right.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I don't know.
Can't get that right. Yeah, keep trying, Fresno. There's always next year.
So, are you still looking for this video? Oh, my. Okay, just give it
Luke,
up, Luke.
Give it up, dude. We love your tenacity. But for fuck's sake, I would have gone to YouTube, Luke. That's the first place I would have. Luke is like on sites that no one's ever heard
Fresno
of.
What if you just in Google video?
Yeah, I was going to say at the top, Fresno
press,
video
go
alien.
To videos. You see up there?
We're going to let's berate Luke for a few minutes on the pod.
He's learning the internet.
Wow, the top video. This is coming to us from the FresnoBee.com.
Bigfoot, Chewbacca. Was that say Chupacabra?
Oh, Fresno alien right there.
All right, we're looking, you guys, for the listeners. We are looking at a yard with nothing in it. Here comes a creature. Oh, I have seen this for sure.
It does have a cape on.
Yep. It's got a cape. That's a full on cape.
It's ET on fucking
Halloween. Wow, it kind of looks like an invisible creature with just something wrapped around its invisible head.
It looked like a mop.
He is doing this with his head. He's got a fucking real stiff walk.
All right.
It's pretty sweet.
We've now seen the Fresno
alien. I think we find the guy that owned this video, and that's going to tell us a lot.
Yeah, I think we should have that guy on the show. It does look like he's just pulling something through from a clothesline.
I mean, I'll tell you what.
It's a clothesline, guys.
I love the video.
We solved it.
For sure coming down a line.
It's
right?
Coming down a clothesline. It's
one been, tree.
Yeah,
that's how you see the movement.
Exactly. You can almost see the hands.
There just happens to be a perfectly placed tree on the other side, right
where
the
wire can
see. Right. We've lent way. This is the most coverage Fresno's had in fucking decades. You're welcome, Fresno.
It was the mayor that did it.
Yeah, the mayor's going to hit us. Stuff. Yeah, we thank you guys for bringing commerce to Fresno. All right, so you guys have much better scary stories than what we just did. We just debunked our own shit. That was really weird.
Yeah.
So what's happened to you guys in the creepy world? You guys have something.
So people that don't believe in ghosts aren't going to like this story, but I grew up with a ghost. Legitimately, you talk to my parents, like I was a kid. We would frequently say I lived in a pretty small, like 1,200 square foot house or so, but... I'll just do like two different quick ones, but we would be all sitting watching TV in the living room, and you would see they would go walking past in the hallway. And
what just like a
just the image,
just a
something,
somebody walks by, yeah. And like the whole family, I was like fucking, I don't know, 8 years old or so, like I was a kid, and we'd all just sort of, we just saw her again, you know. And then there was one time where I got up, me and my dad are watching TV in the living room. I walk out of the living room, go into my kitchen, turn the corner around the fridge, and my mom's going down the three stairs, then the steps, going downstairs to do laundry, and she was carrying a little basket with her, and I clear as day saw the ghost, the image following my mom down the stairs, almost as if like to help her do laundry, like, or some shit, laundry. Right? I didn't say anything. I just walked straight, because it was the first time where I like was watching it. Walked back into my living room, sat down, just started watching TV, like didn't say anything. And my dad looks over and he goes, "You just saw Rose, didn't you?" And I was like,
"You guys named her, like, and everything?"
No. So what we found out was, oh, everyone thought we'd get this really strong perfume smell in the house. My mom doesn't wear perfume. She gets headaches and shit from it. But I was in the house and started smelling like this really strong scent. And my dad grew up in the house across the street. So he knew the lady that had lived there, and he finally realized it was this lady, Rose, and because he remembered her, the smell of her perfume, so okay. We sort of just all tied it together. So
wow.
I it's a weird one, because I saw some shit. I don't know. My dad was like slipping me some shit when I was a kid, but I saw some shit for sure, like absolutely. But that, I mean, that was a scary ghost story.
I want that so bad.
Are we going, now here's just a scary story. How are we going, ghosts?
Anything.
Anything creepy, alien, anything creepy.
Anything.
Okay, this is a rough one. So we were on tour in Japan, and it was the last night of tour. And this is right before they made Happy Mush, as they call it, illegal in Japan. The mushrooms were pretty much legal at the time. They had just made it legal, so there was places that still sold them. So we pick some up. Last show's over with. We all go out to eat. There's like 40 of us in this little restaurant. and it's like, you sure you want to do it? I'll do it if you do it. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, we take some mushrooms. Sitting there, like, I start feeling a little warm and weird. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm having an asthma attack. And I was like, all right. So I grab my little brother, EJ, and I'm like, yo, let's walk back to the hotel. I need to get my asthma spray. So on the same street is the place we were eating. It was the venue. Walked down 30, 40 yards. Police station, Happy Mush Place, hotel, all on the same street. We walk past, cross the street. He buys some more, like, shit for his mom. She's like a hippie. She goes in the shop, buys her some gifts. We go upstairs, grab the asthma spray, walk back, cross the street. We're walking back. And all of a sudden, I'm just, like, looking, and I'm like, the mushrooms are hitting. So I'm like, you know, but I'm like, is that real? And he just like, yeah, dude, let's get the fuck out of here. And I was like, no way, dude, that's not. And so I'm like, right, like movie style, fucking zoomed in. I started walking towards it. EJ's walking away. I didn't realize it. And then when I got about 15 feet away, 10, 15 feet away, he grabs me and snaps me out of it. He's like, dude, let's get the fuck out of here. So it was like a mobster. It was like Fukuoka or some shit like that, where like it's very heavily mafia and shit.
Yeah.
So our brains are going, he's going crazy thinking about that shit.
He's all scared.
Yeah. So we run back to, let me wet my pellet. We get back to the restaurant. It's like, you know, you're supposed to take off your shoes and shit like that. And I was just like pushing. I was like, no, I got to get in there. So I walk into the group and I was like, hey, Kaz, because he was our translator. I'm like, hey, you guys. And everybody gets silent for a second. I'm like, yo, I know you guys know I'm fucked up, but I just found somebody hanged.
Oh, and that's what you guys were seeing?
Yes.
Someone hanging.
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
We just walked past this way, went up to the hotel, came back. And so I'm like, and so it gets silent for a second, right? I'm like, oh, okay. And I hear, oh, yeah? Well, Nick just ate horse meat. And everybody starts laughing. And I'm just like,
you're like, oh, my God.
They're not listening. And Kaz looks at me and goes, are you being serious? I swear to God. So we went back. And by the time we got back there, because it was real close.
Yeah.
There was like two or three police officers because the police station was right there.
Yeah.
And they're very nice. I mean, I'm sure you've been to Japan. The people are just fucking the nicest culture ever. So they're like, no. And we're like, yeah. Push them aside, just walk up to it. And a couple people took pictures and shit, which is fucked up.
So it was happening. Real. There was a hanging dude.
I had to bring
people
back to make sure. Yeah. Because I was on mushrooms. I'm like, of course that shit happens when you're like,
yeah.
That's when you see that shit. And sure enough, couple months roll by and I get a postcard in the mail, and it's from my tour manager at the time, Ron. He said, Merry Christmas, thinking of happier times. And I turned it over and it was a photo of.
No.
And I'm like, you fucking asshole. Wow.
I'm picturing a suit and tie on the person hanging.
No.
No?
No, he was like wearing like jumps, like a normal jumpsuit shit. It was fucked up.
Wow. Yikes.
It was fucked up. That's... And so like, and that was our last night there. So like, the hotel rooms are real small there. So like, nobody wanted to be alone. So we had like 10 dudes crowded in like this.
What a thing like, to see. Thing.
Oh. Like, we were watching, I think we watched like Finding Nemo.
Yeah. Something to make you happy.
Yeah. It was fucked up, man. Like, so that was a.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
That's fucked heavy.
That's was not what came to my head, right? You're thinking, because you're like, we both looked at it, and I go, I know he's going to tell us what they were looking at. I'm thinking that there was like a gargoyle statue. No, but dude, like, hanging there.
Dude for
hanging.
A turn. Yeah. Not some shit you want to
say. All right. Well, that is heavy.
Yeah.
Woo! Adrian, what you got, buddy? I know you got a scary story too. Well, he's like, well, shit.
I definitely got, I got a scary one. So growing up in Dominican Republic, you know, Dominican Republic shares the island with Haiti, so they... The Haitian culture, you know, practice like witchcraft and stuff like that. And at the time, my dad was a really bad alcoholic, super depressed, and financially we weren't doing good. So he hired this witch to literally like change his fortune, right? And so one day I came home from school and my dad is in the kitchen with this lady and
I'm already smiling now.
Our caretaker is like, he like takes care of like our horses and our property at the time. He's like, in Spanish, he's like, you know, don't be scared about what you're about to see. Your dad's in there with so-and-so. So I walk in and my dad is like, I've seen that too. It wasn't good.
That would be like, don't go in there. Yeah. Do not.
She's changing his fortune.
But I remember walking in and I felt cold. And even before I got to where they were sitting and like goosebumps, and I just felt super weird. And I walk in and the lady's eyes are rolled to the back of her head. And no shit, like a fucking demon's voice, like a man's voice, like started talking to me. Like, and I just remember my dad was just like almost paralyzed. And I just fucking ran out of that fucking place. And then afterwards, my dad was like, she was doing like a, not a seance, but like some kind of like.
Seance might be right there.
Yeah.
It was fucking scary as fuck.
Damn.
I was like.
Damn.
How old were you?
15.
15?
Yeah.
Wow. Somewhere around there. What'd she say? Do you remember?
I don't exactly remember what she said. I remember she introduced herself, but not as who I knew her as.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? Gone.
Later.
Yikes.
Wow. I didn't sleep for like 3 days after that.
I bet.
Well, that's creepy as shit. You guys have had some pretty rad experiences.
Those were good stories.
That's fucking weird.
Oh, man. What?
Fuck. I don't even want to tell my... Well, Duddy and I have a rad story. We've told it on the show. We've seen a dead body, Duddy.
Oh, in Reno?
No. Where was that? I don't remember Reno. I'm talking about the one in front of our... Yeah, in Fresno.
Who was it? I forget.
We saw Fresno. Fresno.
We saw one in Reno. We were driving our bus through Reno, and it was just... A guy was just dead on the corner, and there was like one cop there, you know, standing there, and he was just fucking dead, out, dude. And there was like blood, like you could just tell. You were like, that guy's dead.
That guy's not alive.
Yeah. I'm talking about the lady and her boyfriend that got shot out in front of our house. Yeah, when we were kids. We've told this on the show, but it just, the hanging thing reminded me of it, because gunshots, boom, boom. Duddy and I didn't even really know they were gunshots. We're kids. And our neighbor runs over and he's like, did you hear those gunshots? Let's check it out. Duddy and I, young me and Duddy, run out the front door. There's a truck kind of pulled over to the side of the road, like a block from our house or a few houses up. We run up to the truck and boom, dead girl in the front seat. Looked like she was trying to escape. She was shot up and the guy in the front seat had a bullet hole in his head. I think it was my first day of high school, so I must have been 13.
I was 11 then, because 11 and a half-ish.
I remember,
a little young then.
I remember I went to high school, first day, you're excited, we came home, and then all of the school was on our corner, because it happened right there, the news vans were all on our corner.
Yeah.
But the hanging guy reminded me of that, because seeing
can
a dead
see
person,
it in your head?
Yeah, I can still see both of
the things,
them.
Right? It just,
yeah.
I can see it right now. I can see the guy's blue jacket, like the scarf that he used. Like everything, it's fucking weird.
It does scarf. That scarf.
Yeah,
I wasn't thinking
it to a fence. It was as.
Oh, yikes. Wow. Yeah, dude, it's a funky thing when you see like just a dead body there. It's really scary.
Can I go to the bathroom?
You can go to the bathroom. Hell yeah. Dirty and I used to watch our neighbors watch TV. That was about as exciting as I got. Remember, we've already told that story too.
Just fucking sit
we'd
there
spy on our neighbor, on our good friend's family from their front living room. They'd be watching TV, eating dinner.
We used to walk around with the controllers when everybody had the same controller.
Oh, I loved that.
We'd hide in the fucking, and I remember sitting up on his porch, the window's right here, and I'm literally sitting here. Is changing this guy's channels.
That's
and every
amazing.
Time he would, and he couldn't figure it out. So then I had him fooled into thinking that when he would take the controller and go up, the channel would go up. Like, we used to fuck around with our neighbors.
See,
so
another nostalgic thing, yeah. You know, universal remotes, because every TV just had a little remote. Do you remember the kid that would come to school with the universal remote?
Oh, yeah.
Get linked up and fuck with the teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Golden moments.
That's funny.
I totally forgot about that. Wheeling the TV down the hallway.
Yep.
Go get the TV from room.
That was a good day.
That was a good day.
Happy that I'll get to remember that. It's all computerized shit from here on out until unless something gets really crazy and we're back to like carving in sand or whatever. But yeah, it's all computers. You kids are bummed, man. We had to do stupid shit like change people's TVs.
Entertainment, man.
We really had to work hard. I remember getting up and changing the channel on the TV.
I have
that memory of being really young. And
we actually had the
clack. You got to get up and do it.
The button was broken. So my dad took like a wrench and put it to it permanently. So then we would turn it with a wrench.
I've seen some wrenched up remotes.
Or the freaking projector screens with the clear paper and it put it up on the wall and you didn't draw on it.
Overhead projectors. Those are gone. Those are gone.
That's got to be gone. I don't know. I haven't been to school for a long
time. Holy shit. I can't wait till my son goes to school. It's just going to be a whole different world.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, guys.
Let's get into another song.
Let's do another song.
Yeah.
All right.
We did Masquerade. What's up? What's next?
We could do, let's do Drawing Board.
Drawing Board.
Drawing Board.
All right. Let's get into it.
Control the girl had on my mind. I've fallen deep, I can't get out. I've never acted this way before. 'Cause I spend days and nights in my bedroom trying to write the perfect song to sing to you. Write a song or say she won't like it anyway. I'm back to the drawing board with the words you've heard a million times before. Feeling alone and she's on my mind. I tried to erase all the pain from that time. She's breaking up and I'm breaking down. And now I'm headed out of this fucked up town. 'Cause I spend days and nights in my bedroom trying to write the perfect song to sing to you. Write a song a day, the band won't like it anyway. I'm back to the drawing board with the words you've heard a million times before. In your head. So love me so I can be myself again. Now hate me so things seem normal in my head. I'm trying to break away this ball and chain. So hate me so things seem normal in my head. Things seem normal. Days and nights
in my bedroom, trying to write the perfect song to sing to you. I spend days and nights in my bedroom, trying to write the perfect song to sing to you. Write a song and say she won't like it anyway. I'm back to the drawing board with the words you've heard a million times before. In your head, I am dead.
All right, this week's episode of Feeling Good with Duddy is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped is the undisputed champ in men's below-the-waist grooming, and they just happened to send us a couple of their newest lawnmowers 4.0. These things are amazing. They feel great. You take it out of the package, you feel like you really got something special. And speaking of special, Father's Day is coming up. That's right, ladies. If you got someone special out there in your life and you do not know what to get him, is there a better gift? I don't think there is. The Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. This thing is amazing. Jake, I know you've been trying it. What's some of the things you love about it?
Okay, I'm a barber, guys, so I know a good pair of clippers when it's in my hand. And I put this thing to the test. I took it in the shower because it says it's waterproof.
It is.
I want to make sure it is. It certainly is waterproof. It does have an LED light on it. So wherever you're shaving, there's a little light. I turn the lights off in the shower. I said, if I'm testing this thing, I'm testing it in the dark. If it's a zombie apocalypse, I want to groom.
Yes.
I'll groom the zombies as long as the battery lasts. And it's a long-lasting battery. Used it multiple times already. So it works everywhere there. Probably my favorite feature is a little simple one. It has a lock on it. So if you're traveling, it doesn't accidentally get turned on.
That happens.
And then you try to shave, no battery. You just click the button three times, pam, 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 it's locked. And then you got to do a triple click to unlock it. That was kind of my favorite thing. I just thought that was super smart. The clipper's great. It didn't pinch at all. It's powerful. I'm perfectly shaven. It's waterproof. The light works great. I can't say enough. And it is Father's Day. I can't imagine a better thing. It's kind of the gift that's for the wife and the husband, or the husband and the husband.
Yeah, either way.
Either way.
Like you said, it's a gift not only for him, it's a gift for you as well. It's a gift for both of you. And right now, go and get 20% off and free shipping with code DUDDYB at manscaped.com. That's right. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code DUDDYB and unlock your confidence and always use the right tool for the job with Manscaped. All right, here we go. First and foremost, Koi CBD. We love this product. We love this company. They've been with us since day one. I use it every day. You've heard me talk about it. I take the drops in the morning when I'm drinking my coffee. I love the way it makes me feel. I get aches and pains in my hands and in my fingers all the time from just playing guitar a lot, playing sports. I'm getting older. I got some aches and pains in my hands and in my fingers, but I've noticed it happens a lot less since I've been on a steady diet of Koi CBD. And even though it happens less, it still does happen sometimes. And when it does, they have so many amazing rubs and creams that, you know, you can just put on. It's one of those things where you rub it on, you don't think about it. 20 minutes later, you're just like, wow, it doesn't really hurt anymore. It's awesome. And it's much healthier for you than over-the-counter pills. So if you are out there, you got a bunch of aches and pains and you're looking for a healthier way to get rid of them, give CBD a try. Give Koi CBD a try. It is the best. And if you go to KoiCBD.com and you put in code FEELGOOD at checkout, you will get 15% off your first order. That's right. Also, plug-ins keychains. Awesome product, guys. They have a product called the Jack Rack. What this is like a replica to a guitar amp head. They have Fender, they have Marshall. They look amazing. They're not big and bulky. You hang it up on your wall, and it comes with four keychains and has four quarter-inch cable input. So you put your keys on it. You got a little quarter-inch cable keychain now on your keys. When you get home, you just plug it right into your amp, and when you're gonna go anywhere, you know exactly where it's at. It's on your Jack Rack that's on your wall that you got from pluginskeychains.com, and that is with a Z, and it is plural. That is PLUGINZ keychains.com. Pick up a Jack Rack, put in code DUDDYB at checkout, and you will get 20% off of every order for the rest of your life. Jake, you heard it here, people. All right. Thank you, guys. As I said before, at the very top, they had some scary stories, Jake, but they have some poop stories. So we're just going to get right into it. So who wants to go first?
You got to take the lead on this one.
Okay.
I got some fucked up shit, but I'll wait.
Warped Tour 2018. I think it was Orlando, and it was super fucking hot anyways. And but you know, when you're on like festivals and if you're there early, you want to get to the porta potties before anyone else does,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So they had this line of probably like 12 porta potties in the middle of this field. So I'm like, fuck yeah. It's like 8 a.m. No one's around. It's still hot as hell. So I go to the first porta potty there, you know, locked door, handling my business. All of a sudden I hear,
oh no. Oh no.
I don't think much of it. You know, I think they're loading like barricades or something.
You pre-gamed beep, it too beep, early. Beep, beep. Oh, fuck.
It's starting to get closer. Next thing I know, you know how like they have the vents up on top?
Oh yeah.
I see the porta potty next to me go up.
No, oh, no, and I'm like, no,
oh, fuck,
no.
Oh fuck, oh fuck. So like I'm like trying to poop as fast as I can. Oh. And then all of a sudden I hear it coming.
No.
I literally pinched, but as I pinched, I opened up the door.
I pinched.
And I fucking tripped and like shit the rest of myself.
You as I'm falling.
Going out. And then the guy driving the fucking little thing was just dying laughing.
Oh my God.
And I had to like fucking mosey on back to the bus.
That's amazing.
And there was no showers, so I had to get like the monster can waters.
Oh, the monster can waters.
Hey, Luke will tell you. Those are 28.
Now? 28 bucks?
Yeah. 28 bucks online for those.
For a monster water can.
For a can.
Why? A can.
I guess because you can only get them if you're a touring band or whatever, so people want them.
So that was like fucking it's a collector's stock back thing. In the day. Like if you find a good early stock.
Yeah.
You could have saved those and then
you could have
sold them.
That's
fucking weird, man.
Weird. Well, now you have Liquid Death. And
that could have been your Doge. You missed the Doge.
The Doge. I have a little bit of Doge.
A little Doge.
But the fucked up things I told other people to buy and I didn't.
Oh,
now they're making a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Like I literally was like, do this. And then I didn't.
then I didn't.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
He's like, you got to get into Doge. Didn't even get into Doge.
And then I didn't do it. Cause I didn't, my accounts don't buy crypto. They buy like real stocks. But so shitting story. This is a good one too. Cause I had this ex-girlfriend. This is from when I was like fucking 17, 16 or 17. Randomly just wrote me too. Like, a couple days ago because somebody posted a song from one of our first records from like Chicago, our DIY records, and this person writes, oh, that's my song. I was like, oh yeah, cool. And I wrote back again, no, like that was really my song, you wrote it about me. And I was like, what? And then she's like, this is Tracy. And I was like, oh, okay, from when I was like fucking 16. So I got kicked out of school when I was like 15, so I never had to worry about prom or anything. But then I started dating a girl who was in high school and we had to go to prom, and so which that was a weird story too, because we took mushrooms before we went to that. So that was fucked up. So we come back from the night and she lived like maybe like an hour from my house. So it was really late by the time we got home and the parents were like, he can sleep for a little bit, but then he's got to go. You know, we're like 16, 17 years old. So they don't want, you know, kids sleeping over at this point. So I wake up around 4 a.m. and I'm like, all right, I'm going to fucking jet and cruise home. I got my mom's Lumina and start cruising home, solid 45-minute drive, and I start like feeling my stomach start to rumble a little bit. And I was like, fuck, man. Like
the mushroom shits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I'm like, I can do this. I can make it. I can hold it. So I'm driving, and I'm still way too far from home. Like there's no way I'm going to make it. Like I have a solid 30 minutes left, and I could like, you could hear it. Like it was like a, seemed like a joke out of a movie where like you'd hear the stomach rumbling like over. Yeah. And I'm going and I'm like, fuck, man. I'm like, maybe if I just let out a little bit of fucking gas, like it'll relieve, because it was painful too. I used to have like fucked up stomach when I was a kid. I go to let out just a little bit of fucking air to relieve the pain. And I'm not exaggerating. It's just like, it was like the dam just fucking opened.
Oh, you can't.
And there was nothing I could do. I'm driving 70 miles an hour, just shitting myself. And it was like full liquid, just, you know, it's worse. So
just rent and tux.
Did your mom's car
have? Here's the thing. Okay, so that's semi-part of the story. So I'm driving and then I come up. There is this little drive-off thing where they have like restaurants above and stuff. So I see that area and I fucking pull up in there. And I'm like, I can't get out of the car and go like in the bathroom and properly, because
it's just a mess.
I'm fucking covered in shit. Like, covered. And so all I can do is I take my pants off, take my underwear off, use my underwear, which is already heavily covered, to do like one swipe to the ass. Just like drop it out the window. And there's like truckers everywhere and shit. Pull the pants up to my ankles right here and just got to do the rest of the ride. But I'm still like, nothing else I can do, right? So I'm like, all right, I'm in the clear. I just got to get home and take care of this. I'm about 2 miles from my house on this long road home. And it starts happening again.
Oh no.
And at this point, I got no one around. My Adidas like jumpsuit pants are like up to my knees. And it's like dick and balls just covered, just driving. And there's one right turn I know I can stop at real quick. And this is like 4 a.m, so I'm like, we're good. Like, I know we live down the street, like, no, a lot of cars go
through. Yeah.
Fuck it. Turn it, slam it in the park, open up the door, holding on to the seat still, like ass out of the car like this. Oh. And I'm just shitting. And 4 a.m, no cars around. All of a sudden, I look to my right, here comes a fucking car.
Lights
and
up.
I just jumped into the car. Fucking
spraying.
Just took off. And all I could think about to this day too is like, whoever was driving at 4 a.m, takes a right on this street. And it was like the Fresno guy, like when he sees like a 17-year-old kid with his door wide open, just shitting in the middle of the street, jumps back in the car, drives off. Even if they didn't know what was happening, as soon as I drove off, and it was just a pile of shit on the ground. They were just like, I just drove up on some kids shitting.
Just out.
So I go home, get in the house. I showered with my clothes on because I was like, I have to clean this. Told my mom the story and I cleaned up as much as I could. But then I think I left like a small little piece of poop like on her. She had like a car seat cover thing. And I never heard the end of it. She was so pissed. I'm like, Mom, I shit my pants. I didn't want to do this.
You know?
My mom was mad at me. And I'm like,
this is the worst. Like, you think your day sucks, Mom?
Yeah.
You have one little poop kernel. Everywhere.
Right.
I sat in it, Mom.
So much for unconditional love.
Somebody watched you doing this in the middle of the road at 4 a.m.
So that's a thing for people then. If you're driving, if you're listening to this and you're driving and you do see something like that, like, don't get mad. Think of the night that person's having.
Right. I didn't want to pull over and shit in the middle of the road.
No one wants that. Yeah,
last option.
Yeah, that's the worst case scenario.
There's even shit in the car for a second time.
Police officers even. Like,
I know.
If it's just someone on a corner, no car, and they're shitting, arrest them all day. Right. You know, fucking whatever.
Taking a piss, man, you gotta... travel with, and in my car, I have... from the hospital, the thing that you piss in, a little plastic.
I just talked about that. I have one in my van. It's outside. I use it. It's the most used thing in my life.
I put it in cruise control. My wife will hold the wheel and I'll just like put my dick in it and then just fucking, then we can keep going.
Dude, wow. I haven't done that yet. That's rad. You're like on another level.
It's multiple use too, because we were going to the Angels game and my son decided he had to piss and I was like, dude, like we're on the highway, we're cruising, man. So she crawled in the back. He stood up out of his seat, pissing him. We just kept going.
Boom.
Bam.
Maybe I got to invest in one of these things.
Good. It's pretty cheap, man.
We're going to see the opening the pitch.
Yeah.
Oh.
The what?
For the RV.
What?
We need one of those.
Oh, yeah. I have one.
Yeah, then you don't have to stop.
I mean, that's the same.
Yeah. There you go.
We never stop anyways, to be fair. Like, our trash can is literally full with, like,
piss bottles.
Oh, wow.
Because we're on the road.
The bathroom for, like, storage and shit. So I'm dude, we've all traveled in vans. We know, just hold your piss until...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Until you're trying to piss in the fridge like I was doing.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay. Quick story real quick. We're in...
I don't know. This could be a new segment.
We're in Eugene, Oregon, and we were partying really fucking hard. And we always party pretty fucking hard. We drink pretty heavily.
It was because... So I have my back's all fucked up, so... I popped out, like if you have a herniated disc, it goes to one side. I fucked up my back and it was going out both ways. So I couldn't walk it was right before the Millencolin tour and I couldn't walk. But I was like, I have to do the tour, like the record's coming out. So I was self-medicating because I have chronic back pain, but nothing was working. So I was doing little cocktails.
Yeah.
But like 30 years old, smart enough, like I'm 39, whatever, but... Well, I would write shit down every day. So I knew what I was taking at what time in case I accidentally did overdose. Like we had Narcan. I did show the paramedics. Like I was being smart, but it was the only way that I could actually
function. Was pretty bad. Like I can't believe you did the tour.
I was in dying pain. And by mixing a little bit of booze with the pain pill, it would actually make the nerve go numb and I could actually stand up and move. But it was a reset every day. where all of a sudden, like, they would go to get food and I had to, like,
I had a wheelchair.
Like an old man. Like, I couldn't walk. Yeah. In dying pain. Yeah. So it was one of those nights where I didn't balance it out so well.
Yeah.
And I don't remember any of this. I just know the stories.
Tony and I would sleep in the back bed. And then all of a sudden, I hear Tony climb over me. And he opens up my closet. And I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? I realize he's about to piss in the closet. I'm like, Tony, that's not the bathroom, buddy. And he's like, what? I was like, that's not the bathroom. So he closes the closet door. And then he goes to the fucking fridge. Opens up the fridge. I'm like, Tony, this is not the fucking toilet.
You don't even pee in the RV anyways. Yeah. I don't know why I was thinking of doing that.
And he like climbs over. I think, I forget who was like laying on the floor. Climbs over and I had to hold him outside the door. And he's just, dude, the biggest spray.
Oh, yeah.
As you're driving?
No, we were stopped.
Oh, luckily, okay.
But just, yeah, so.
I fell down that night. Yeah. I was going to fell on my
the
back.
The biggest spray. Even worse, yeah, too, that like, doesn't help.
Yeah, no. Like I fell completely on my back and like.
Yeah, that's so pretty gnarly.
I don't remember, but
I can't believe he even did that tour. I mean, there was days where he would just be
I couldn't
just
move
bawling
and
in pain.
You would have to like I'd have to time it where like the drugs and the booze would numb me, but I was still stable enough to play the show.
Yeah,
because there was a fucking crossover point. Oh, obviously,
yeah. No, obviously,
yeah. You had a 45-minute window to knock out a good
real,
show.
Dude, for yeah, real. But it was you know it's and not then, the first time I've experienced that.
And then the
shit,
day
so.
We got home. I went to the bar.
Oh, here's a good story. Do you want some good stories? So
keep it rolling.
So we're driving home. So I only drank on the medication because it would make me go numb. So then we're driving home from our last show. So it's like we're from Seattle. So it's like a day drive full.
I flew home.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And so cruising home, taking my medication, using like, what is it? CBD shit, like trying everything, you know, but not drinking because I don't fucking need to. Get home, go over to my girlfriend's place. And laying there in bed, and then the pain starts catching up. So take a little bit more medication, not drinking. Nothing worked, like the pain had gone too far. So we ended up in the hospital because I was like, I can't do this. Like I was so fucked up.
Yeah.
And so they give me like, what is it? Like a shot of what is it? Some real strong
Darvocet
shit.
Darvocet or something, what is it?
Darvocet, I think is a pill. Okay. Demerol?
Demerol.
Demerol, yeah.
Some real strong shit, right?
Yeah.
Give me another shot of it, nothing. And I go, and they're like, we can't give you any more pain medication. I'm arguing with the ladies. I'm like, I don't want pain medication. I want the pain to go away. I'm like, give me some like fucking anti-inflammatories. Like the swelling in my back is fucking killing me. So one point they're just being dicks. And I know I'm fully being judged, right? I show up 3 a.m. covered in tattoos, like.
Asking for a payment.
Right. You know, like I'm like, I get this. I go, but look at my record. My back's all fucked up. You could see my medical history. They're being assholes. I'm like, fuck it. You know what? I get dressed. Get in a wheelchair and I'm like, she starts wheeling me out. And they're like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going home. I'm like, you guys won't do fucking anything for me. Mm-hmm. I go, I'm done. Or no, they're like, you can't, if you go home, nothing's gonna happen. I said, well, I'm not. I'm gonna go to another hospital. I think then they were sort of like, well, if you go to another hospital, we're gonna get in trouble.
We're gonna look bad.
Yeah. So, oh no, we're gonna give you something. And I'm like, okay. So wheel me back in. This different nurse walks in and she's like, all right, Anthony, I'm gonna give you some ketamine. Which I know they're like, I don't know, like Corey Feldman used to party with her or some shit.
That's like,
I had some friends that used to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. People were doing that for sure back when we were in high school,
like,
I feel like.
Yeah. And I was like, this is like, I've heard about this stuff, not in the medical world, but in the other fun world. And so she slammed it. Like, you know, like with the pain meds, the lady was going all slow. And so she fucking gives it to me. I'm sitting up and she goes, okay, Anthony, how you doing? And this is all I remember is I just go, I'm not doing good. I'm going down. And then I was out. And then my wife told me the rest of it, that she's doing this, yelling in my face and shit, and I'm just fucking out. And then she thought that I was dead, which I did. But so she goes, I first figured out that something was wrong when I saw the nurse's face. And the nurse was like, doctor. And so then she ran out of the room and yelling, and the room got filled. They wouldn't even let her back in. They brought in like the defibrillator. So they overdosed me on ketamine.
Wow.
And I'm just like, I just want a little bit of pain to go away.
Yeah.
I ain't trying to fucking party fucking Corey Feldman style. I'm just trying to fucking.
They got you a new nurse who just said, oh, you're partying tonight.
So when I came to, it was nothing but apologies and that whole thing. But I survived.
But you think you died a little bit?
Dude.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get into that. When I came to, I talked to my wife about this. The first thing I said was, where's my son? Where's my son? when it was happening, it was, I left the room. I saw the rest of the hospital, right? Eventually they took me to go get a CAT scan. When they took me on that path, I was like, this is the path that I already took. And I asked my wife, I go, have I left the room yet? And she's like, no, you haven't left. And it was like, I was being taken out. Everything was like weird and orange and all this shit. And I'm just going, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Am I dying? Where's my son? Where's my son? Like fucking losing it. And so when I woke up, or came to, whatever, and they gave me all this shit to like reset
wake you
it.
Up. Yeah.
And I just remember looking at her and being like, where's my son? Am I dead? Am I dead? Like freaking out. I'm like, I don't want to die. She's like, you're okay. You're okay. And she's like, ooh, it's safe to say. She's like, you can't do ketamine anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
It was like,
it was a teachable moment.
Yeah. Like, I feel like, yeah, I left that. I fucking did. I went somewhere else. Like, I crossed. Damn. I know it's a party drug, but like the fact that I knew the hospital without ever seeing it was a little fucking weird to me.
So you're like, maybe I fucking floated away.
I think I rode that line.
Took a little cruise.
Yeah. I think I might have fucking seen what it was like. I didn't like it. I wasn't ready.
Like, I'm not ready.
Yeah. I was like, I got a little boy. I want to hang out with him.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're here to hang out with the boy.
Thanks.
And we're glad to have you on the show. And then we have another song.
Let's get one more song. And then after the song, we have some Q&A from our Patreon members. Guys, if you do enjoy the show, you want 4 extra episodes every month, you can go over to patreon.com/feelinggoodwithduddy. You can sign up there. It's $5 a month. You also get guitar tutorials. I do guitar tutorials for Dirty Head songs over there every month as well. So if you want to help the show out and get some extra cool content, head on over to patreon.com and sign up. But let's get into another song. And then we'll hit him with some Q&A questions.
You got it. What's the third song?
Third song is going to be the song we usually end with. So it's called Brohim. Just kidding.
Yeah.
It's called Rooftops.
Rooftops.
Right on, Rooftops. Here we go.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Staring at the broke street lights, some of those lonely nights, I didn't know if we would make it through. Staying up till 5 a.m., watching the sun come up again. I'd do it all again if I could. So if I call, will you be there? Share. Up on the rooftop, listening to punk rock. Nobody believed us. This could be our one shot. That was all we had. The nights that we wasted got us through the days that seemed never ending, always in a haze. But we just didn't care. No, we just didn't care. That we could go, staring at a world we didn't know, wondering if this was all we had. 40-ounce intoxicated dreams and all our faded memories, that's what made us who we are today. So if I call, will you be there? Share. Up on the rooftop, listening to punk rock. Nobody believed us. This could be our one shot. That was all we had. The nights that we wasted got us through the days that seemed never ending, always in a haze. But we just didn't care. No, we just didn't care. Nights left alone is what made us. All these nights.
up on the rooftop listening to punk rock. Nobody believed us, this could be our one shot. That was all we had. Up on the rooftop listening to punk rock. Nobody believed us, this could be our one shot. That was all we had. The nights that we wasted got us through the days that seemed never ending. Always in a haze, but we just didn't care. No, we just didn't care.
Right on. That was awesome. Thanks again, guys, for coming down, playing some songs for
us.
It's
been fun.
Yeah, man. And also,
before we even get into the Q&A, huh, just where can they, is there anything you guys want to plug? Like,
We talked about the new video at the beginning, right? So if you want to submit, you know, stuff with your son or daughter, any sort of family photos for that video, you're welcome to do it. And then we are releasing, I really haven't even talked about this, so this is a good one. We're going to release I'd have to do the math, but like a 6-song EP, maybe mid to late summer. I was going to, should have been recording it by now, but I fucking broke my hand. So it put off studio time and shit like that. It's going to be like 5 or 6 new songs, Masquerade Acoustic. And then we have a song called These Streets that's on the record, but we redid it and Mod Sun sing on the bridge, so it's just like a different version of it. So we are going to be releasing some new songs, and then all the videos are on our YouTube page, which I don't even know that it's like Messed Music, probably sounds right. And then we have a merch page too, where we're still selling like our vinyl, and we have like 3 different vinyls and shit like that. So if you haven't heard the new record, or you haven't heard us at all,
please
still listen to some fucking music.
Also, June 18th, is it 18th?
It's one of those days.
Somewhere around June.
Whatever the Friday is of that upcoming weekend, June 18th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to do a live stream.
Okay.
Full band live stream.
Yeah. That we did a couple months ago. We're going to do another one, but we're going to do Destination Unknown front to back.
Which is nice.
So
that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I just told him just now.
And then
he just found out.
I just found out right now. Yeah, that's cool. I like that record.
I got two weeks
to learn that record. Shit. Okay, I'm on it. And then if you want to check out Assuming We Survive as well, it's
You guys are doing a new record right now too, right?
Yeah, we're 4 songs away from finishing our new record. So pretty stoked on that. And then,
nice. We'll have links to all your stuff in the description below and whatnot. But let's get into it. Here's some questions from our Patreon members. And first, it's Maui Wowie.
Questions. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Ask us any question you want.
Ooh. He said, sup, dudes. Did the Duffer Brothers ever contact you about the Upside Down song/video?
I'm assuming those are the directors of Stranger Things?
Duffer Brothers? I felt like I'd heard that name
before.
I'm
assuming that, right? Duffer Brothers? Yeah. Is that what that is? Let's assume that that's what they...
Oh, yeah, that's got to be them.
There they are.
Netflix. Stranger Things. Yeah.
There you go.
No, they never contacted us, but I sure ripped the shit out of their concept, didn't I?
That's funny. And then he says, what's your favorite kind of burrito? Escondido has some good ones. That's a little inside joke from our Patreon show we do, but you guys have a favorite kind of burrito?
All meat, baby.
Oh, yeah.
All meat.
Mine is Chile Verde.
Chile Verde is good.
I'm on that keto lifestyle.
Nice. Jake LaPuente says, Messed was one of my favorite bands when I was in high school. You guys dabbled with some reggae sounds in your albums. Have you ever thought of putting out a reggae EP? Glad to hear you're still making music.
Actually, yeah, like over the past fucking 15 years in my brain, it's been a constant, like, I love reggae music. So I've always, and it is in like, I could show you guys some shit that like you'd hear, like every record, we always have a couple different songs, but we have definitely influenced by like the Clash and shit like that.
So
I grew up fucking loving reggae music, but I've always thought about actually doing a full reggae record.
Nice.
Just haven't done it.
Well, it's not too late.
Yeah, it's true.
Scissor and Sarah says, just listen to 10 of your songs in a row and your music does not suck. What's the inspiration for the name Messed?
That's an old one. But for people that don't know this, real simple. I was 15 years old we were trying to come up with a band name. Bush was already taken, which was the other shitty beer besides Milwaukee's Best. So we took the M from Milwaukee, put it over the B. There's a band name.
All right.
And found out another fun fact. Andrew WK, remember him? Party hard guy.
Yeah, big time.
He's banging one of the Two Broke Girls right now. Or they're dating. I shouldn't say banging. Dating.
They are banging. But
rumor has it. But I met him in an elevator at a festival show once, and we introduced ourselves to each other. And he goes, "Oh, you're from Mest." He goes, "Dude," he goes, "that project before it was called Andrew WK was going to be called The Mest." And he had a character drawn up and everything. And then they had to scratch it all because we had already taken it.
It was taken.
Yep.
Got it first.
Yeah. Take
and
that,
we're not Scientologists either, by the way, if anybody knows that reference.
Oh, really? Is that a thing?
MEST is a thing that they use, like matter, energy, space, time. So we get that all the time. And I'm like, fuck no, dude.
All right. Jesse Rule says, "I sing What the Dillio all the time."
Scratch it.
Not a fan of What the Dillio.
Songs that ended up being hits that you didn't expect? I'm guessing that one.
First of all, that wasn't a hit.
Yeah.
It was a terrible. Okay. So here's my explanation for that horse shit song. So you ever listen, like Offspring does this a lot, where they write those gimmicky fucking songs and they become massive songs, right? Or like NoFX has these weird, jokey songs, right? That's what I wrote the song as, right? Not as a representation of the band, of like who we are, but the fucking label hears it. They do what they do.
Yeah.
Give it to K-Rock. Kevin Weatherly was like, "This is a hit. We're playing it now." We weren't even going for radio at the time.
Yeah.
So we were like 3 weeks out from even servicing our first single. Starts playing the fucking song. 50% of people love it. 50% of people hate it. I'm on the hate side. And
it's got to feel weird.
Well, what it did was it ended up, people didn't realize the damage it did, because at the time it was 1999, 2000. So they saw the dollar signs in the fucking Smash Mouth, Sugar Ray shit, and was like, "We can get this to top 40, blah, blah, blah." And so what happened was then people thought that that's who we were. Mm-hmm. So I then had to tour for 2 or 3 years straight, put out more records and show people what type of band we were.
Yep.
So it was actually like, you know, we had to do Damage Control in a way. So like, people don't understand the reason why I don't like that song is because of what it essentially did, where like people thought that that was...
That's who you were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get so that. If it was just a funny song on a record, you'd probably like it. You'd be like, that was us having fun. But you're like, oh fuck, that's the one that they thought was us. Yep. And now... I forget what band it was. God dang it. It was like a 90s band that had a super... Oh, I think it was More Than Words. Yeah, there's Hoobastank too, with their like More Than Words. Yeah. That band was like a hard rock band, I guess. But that was their one song like that. And they're like, bro, it kind of... It's a fucking great, it's a great song. It's like amazing song.
Absolutely.
But I guess it was almost nothing like anything else they did. And whammo.
There you go.
Never know. I just did that song karaoke last night.
You did? It's a fucking banger. I mean, hey, that's a great song. But right, funny, I love the honesty. Yeah, I love that. That's radical.
Last question here from Scissor and Sarah again before we get out of here. So thanks again, guys, for listening.
Wait, you skipped over B-Flobble. I mean, this is just a normal question.
Sorry, Captain B-Flobble says, "What's your favorite thing to do to relax?"
Sleep.
Yeah. It's the best thing to do.
That's probably the best possible.
I'd say jerk off, but that's not relaxing.
Too late, you said it.
He relaxes after.
That's what we'll name this episode.
That's not relaxing.
That's stressful. Mine would be riding my motorcycle.
Riding a motorcycle. Yeah. Nice. That's relaxing.
Dude, also stressful for me.
What the fuck are you talking about? It's not.
All right, then Scissor and Sarah wants to know, what's your favorite hairstyle? Or what's your favorite punk hairstyle? What's your favorite punk hairstyle?
Scissor and Sarah.
Can we click on our page and see the age of that person?
Yeah, she's one of our best ever.
She's a long time listener. She's the legend.
She's from Florida. Look at her feet. She's a sex girl. She's a sex person.
Okay, so you're into like all weird kinky shit.
Oh yeah, she's a kingstress.
Oh, that's awesome.
There they are. That's the couple of the, that's the power couple right there. Scissor and Sarah and the Carpet Munchers got her back to us with the peace sign.
We're in Florida quite often. Come out to the show.
There you go. See Mess next time we're in town.
Fuck, dude. A healthy, thick show.
Mine would be a mohawk.
Oh, yeah, right.
Mohawk. Adrian.
I feel like I've like took Ellen's hairstyle before she had it.
You've been running that hair the whole
way through. I got nothing else.
The whole way through.
I got nothing else.
It fucking works.
Yeah, that is what you get.
There it is.
This is it.
If you're just listening and you haven't, I mean, I haven't seen Tony, it's like spikes everywhere.
It's just, it's bedhead.
It's fucking gnarly bedhead.
Yeah, there you go. You got the answer. There it is.
Spiky would be the one. All right, dude, another banger. Episode 103.
Boom. We'll see you guys next week.
Later.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.